Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So the following scenarios might sound a little familiar. The awkward teenager trying to figure out if a girl likes him and working up the courage to ask her to the prom. The teen who tells his family he's gay, only to be told that not only is he going to hell, he's bringing shame on the family. Then there's the guy who realizes he's the jerk who didn't call back the woman, even though they both clearly liked each other. And the man who is finally able to forgive his dead father for years of harsh treatment so that he can become a whole person. As I said, these do sound like familiar stories, but there's a twist. These are all from Muslim American men, talking about love, sex, and intimacy. And theirs are among the 22 stories collected in a new book called Salam Love. It's edited by Aisha Matu and Noura Masnavi. And Aisha joins us now from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you. The stories were so compelling and interesting and varied. And before we talk about, some of the specific ones, I wonder if you could just tell us what kind of range of issues did you see in the stories of these Muslim American men?
Well, I think first and foremost, these are the stories of American Muslim men who are so often caught in the stereotypes of being frightening or oppressive. And they wanted to tell their own stories, and we chose to focus in on the search for love because it's a universal experience. The stories, as you said, they go over adolescence and the awkward hilarity that's associated with that for all of us. First love, marriage, how do you make love last over a lifetime? What does it mean to be a good and loyal man? What it means to have love unfold in an instant or over a lifetime, how it feels to move on after you've had your heart broken or you've broken someone else's.
You know, in hearing you describe that range, those issues are familiar to so many people. And I am wondering what makes these stories in particular reflective of the Muslim American experience.
Yes, so they're both universal and unique. So, for example, John Austin's story, Planet Zero, he talks about the headiness of moving to Japan and falling in love with a stranger that he meets there and this beautiful affair that unfolds between them. And then the sudden jarring end of that when he meets her Arab family and the blatant racism that they feel towards him as an African-American man, which crushes the relationship. So it's talking about this universal story that we might have of going abroad and having an affair or feeling love for someone, but also pinpoints intra-faith racism, which is very real within the Muslim community and is something that has been silenced for a long time and is now beginning to be spoken about in a more open way. We have Ali Khan Bulani, who talks about being that jerk who didn't call back. But it's also a loving and humorous celebration of his Pakistani Shia community, again, a minority within the Muslim community that even some Muslims may not have that much insight into. So it's sort of juxtaposing both of those stories.
Right.
And I really love Ramia Latrebi's story because it's the quintessential American coming out story, but it's complicated by him being caught between a homophobic Muslim community and an Islamophobic American community.
Huh. It's interesting because in 2012, you published Love, Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. And that book was very well reviewed and very well received. But if I remember correctly, at that time, you didn't necessarily want to do one with men because you thought that maybe it'd be tougher to get men to talk about issues about love, sex, and intimacy. What changed your mind and encouraged you to seek these stories?
Well, my co-editor Noura and I sort of laughingly call it being stalked by Muslim men. So right after Love Inshallah was published 2 years ago, we began to hear from Muslim men at dinner parties, on email, and they were all asking us the same question, where are our stories? And at first we laughed them off. We said, please, guys, don't talk about their feelings. That would be the shortest book ever. But the requests kept coming in, and finally we had to, you know, we came to a realization that if Muslim women are characterized as being silent and oppressed, then Muslim men are most certainly trapped between the stereotypes of being oppressive and frightening. And we wanted to give them an opportunity to share the stories that they felt defined them. And it's also an opportunity for us as readers to see ourselves reflected in that most unexpected place, the heart of a Muslim. Mm.
Because there are so many stereotypes of the the Muslim American community, whether on the male or female side, I mean, did you encounter any stories that you worried would confirm those stereotypes and perhaps did not include them in the collection?
No. You know, our first look was really at compelling literary quality and an engaging story, no matter what the content might be.
I'm asking because you touched upon this very, very gently a little earlier, but for example, in the collection, I didn't read any story that dealt, you know, directly with, for example, issues of misogyny, which some believe to be a very real problem in Muslim societies. Now, of course, it's not exclusive to Muslim culture at all, but I'm wondering, did that issue, for example, not appear anywhere in terms of the conversations and stories that you heard from these many men?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I think both of the volumes are complementary. In the first book, Love Inshallah, many women did write about misogyny, sexism, various issues that they were dealing with. And I think that there's perhaps some male privilege that's packed into some of the stories in the second book where perhaps that misogyny is unseen.
Well, I think that people who read this will find that the stories are very thoughtful, and it seems as if the men universally want kind of what anybody wants, right, which is love and intimacy, a full sense of a fulfilled life. But there seems to be a theme of family. I'm thinking specifically of Arsalan Ahmed, who's a Pakistani-American, who talks about a journey that his mother makes.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Faith, family, and marriage are the recurring themes in many of these stories. And Arsalan is a secular Pakistani Muslim who brings home his girlfriend, who's not Muslim. She hasn't been a secret. His mother has known about her. But when he proclaims that he's going to marry her, it causes a family breakdown. His mother attempts suicide in a protest against his marriage, and then Arsalan goes on to talk about that breakage in the family, its lasting impact on his relationship both with his mother and with his wife. It's a really heartbreaking and moving story. And again, I think taps into that idea of the universal, which is, you know, bringing home the person that you love to meet your family and telling them you want to get married, as well as this very unique, in this case, Pakistani Muslim idea that someone from another culture cannot fully understand our family, our Pakistaniness, our Muslimness, and therefore we don't want this person in our family.
Well, Aisha Matu is co-editor, along with Noura Masnavi, of the new book, Salam Love, American Muslim Men on Love, Sex, and Intimacy. Aisha, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.